Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout this year of faith, it's very important for us to ponder what we believe, especially what we proclaim in the Creed. Before Mass today, as you recited the Rosary, you said these words. Yesterday, we sang them together, that I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I'd like to focus on the apostolic dimension of that church in which we stake our life when we say we believe in it. It doesn't merely mean what most people think, that the history of the church comes through the apostles. St. Paul, in the first reading today of his letter to the Ephesians, say that the church isn't built just by a whole bunch of random spiritual monads who, for some weird coincidence, all end up in the same place at the same time with the same sort of religious identity. No, we're not strangers or sojourners. We're fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household, built upon the foundation of the apostles, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. We proclaim first, when we say, I believe in one apostolic church, that the Catholic Church flows from that foundation on the apostles. But it might be even better to say there, not that we believe in the one apostolic church, but that we know that the church is apostolic. Belief is different from knowledge. Knowledge we have a certain sense of authority on our own without necessarily taking somebody else's word for it. In the same way that we know the United States was founded on the hard work and the courage and the genius of our founding fathers, even though none of us is 300 years old, we accept that totally as a fact. Likewise, with the apostolic dimension of the church, we know that it was founded by Jesus on these whom he called, whose names were pronounced today. That's the first aspect of the church, what we would call apostolic succession, that Jesus himself founded the church and the apostles and continues to build up the church in every generation on the successors of these apostles, the bishops all the way down to Bishop Coleman, Pope Francis, and the bishops throughout the world. The first thing we acknowledge. Second is, far more than that history, we believe that Jesus himself works through the apostolic succession he himself set up. When we believe, we ultimately believe in God who sent his Son, together with whom sent the Holy Spirit, to found this church and through which God continues to act. When we talk about this apostolic dimension of the church, we know that God continues to do his work despite the frailties of the first 12 he chose and those he chooses in every generation. To proclaim our faith in the apostolic dimension of the church is to renew our faith in God. It tells us today that before we called them, Jesus went up the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. And when he came down from among the disciples who were all around him, he chose these 12. To believe in the apostolic dimension of the church means that we believe Jesus knew what he was doing, that the Father had inspired him to choose those whom the church really needed, and that Jesus continues to work in this way. There are a whole bunch of people today, as there have been in almost every generation, but perhaps it's a little bit more accentuated today, where people say, I believe in Jesus, I just don't accept the church. Well, if you don't accept the church, you don't accept Jesus. Because Jesus founded the church, Jesus prayed, Jesus called, Jesus continues to work. To say we believe in Jesus and not to believe in the church is to say, Jesus, you're invited to my life, but I want you to be decapitated. Your head can enter into my life, but not your body. Or Jesus, you can come over and visit me, but leave your bride out. I don't want to have anything to do with your wife, Jesus, despite the fact that you love her, despite the fact you're making her holy. I don't want to have anything to do with her. You're welcome, but not your bride. As John Paul II used to say, we're not called just to believe in the church. We're called to love the church because Christ loves the church and laid down his life to make her holy. And if we don't love the church, we really don't love God, or we think we're smarter than he is. And he should have chosen other people than the ones that he did. That's the second dimension of saying, I believe in one apostolic church, that we believe that God works through this foundational structure he himself established, and we trust in him. But the third dimension is the most challenging for us. Yeah, we can say, okay, I'll grant that the church was founded in the apostles. Yes, I'll grant even that Jesus continues to work through the apostles. No big problem. Doesn't get in my way all that much. Here comes the third. The church is apostolic in every generation. And just as much as Jesus, after a night of prayer, called Peter and Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas, and Judas Iscariot, so he called you and me. The day of our baptism, he called us by name. On the day of our confirmation, when we received the same Holy Spirit that the apostles received surrounding Mary in the upper room on Pentecost, and our name was called, and we stood up and we said, present, here I am, ready to be called, send me. We are part of the apostolic dimension of the church. To call the church apostolic means that the church is missionary, that the church is a mission. We see how Simon and Jude and the original apostles did their work. Their message goes out through all the earth. They took their commission seriously. Right before Jesus ascended, when he gave his valedictory address, go into the whole world, proclaiming the gospel to every creature, baptizing and teaching them everything I have commanded you, knowing that I'm with you always until the end of time. Simon and Jude and the others heard those words, believed in them, and acted on them. It's funny when you look at Saints Simon and Jude that there are so many different places that claim that Simon and Jude founded their church. You know, in the ancient world, every church to prop itself up wanted to have an apostolic foundation. So there would be some scholars who say there are probably some false claimants in there. Perhaps. But the reason why so many places claim Simon and Jude as their founders is because Simon and Jude never stopped going. They crisscrossed. They ran that race, as we were hearing St. Paul proclaim to us yesterday. They did it with an urgency to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim Christ's kingdom, to preach Christ himself across the ancient world. We have received that same mission, to proclaim the gospel to every creature we meet, to everyone. And we're not always going to use words when we do so. But when somebody sees us, by our body language, by our charity, by our joy, by our peacefulness, by our prayerfulness, by our service, by our willingness to cross the other road. Our whole life should be screaming God's love for us and God's love through us for them. Sometimes we are also going to need to use words. But it's key that we recognize that we've received the same mission. And if we proclaim our faith in the apostolic dimension of the church, that means that we recognize we're apostles. We're sent out. That the same Jesus who prayed for them before sending them out prays for us still. He's with us always until the end of time. We've got nothing to be afraid of. And off we go with renewed confidence to warm people's hearts and invite them back to church. Invite them back to God. Invite them back to the way of the commandments. Invite them back to Jesus. Today we come forward. The apostles were called first to be with Jesus and then to be sent out. Jesus calls us here to be with him. He's teaching us today. He's about to feed us. And strengthened by his presence on the inside, at the very end of Mass, he's going to renew his commission. God is going to bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and send us out to announce the gospel. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. And our response to that incredible trust that God places in us is to scream out, "Thanks be to God." Through the intercession of Saints Simon and Jude, may we be as faithful to the mission the Lord is entrusting us in our age as they were to the mission in their age. And if we think that we're unworthy for that task, two things. First, Jesus didn't raid the rabbinical schools, but he raided the wars. The people he sent out had no resume to be able to do this. But God, working through them, changed the entire history of the world. So the Lord still calls those whom the world thinks nobodies, so that through the humble, his incredible power and glory can shine all the more. That's number one. Number two, if we're afraid and think we can't possibly fulfill that mission, today we celebrate St. Jude, the patron saint of hopeless causes. And that cause ain't hopeless. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.